Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk-off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
Okay, here we go.
You tell me to come here, and then you want me to be quiet.
Yeah, just sit here and listen.
You don't know who you
are. Okay, here we go. All right, welcome to episode 8 of the TagCast Podcast. I'm Terry Guile.
And I am Gatch. I'm the Indian of the podcast.
Oh, that's right. I'm the white guy.
I am Timmy Carl Gatch.
And today we have a guest on the show. He's half Mexican. His name's Chris Castles. Thanks for being here, Chris Castles.
What's going
thank you for
on?
Having me here.
We got a little Caius music bed going on because we're going to talk about them later. You heard of Caius, Chris?
I've heard the name Caius, and I Bardo McCarty was really into Caius.
They're pretty cool. The guy from Caius went on to do Queens of the Stone Age and some other stuff, but they're having some legal battles right now, suing each other, former bandmates suing each other.
What?
For rights.
Caius?
Yeah. Yep. Because they said that they weren't going to use the name, and then all of a sudden they filed papers saying they wanted to use the name, and the Josh Homme found out about it, and so him and Scott Reeder.
But it's a little bit different. It's Caius Lives.
Yeah, but then they filed for the Caius name, actually, after they said they weren't going to.
Oh, they filed for the Caius only
Yeah, just
name?
Caius, yeah.
Oh,
are they,
well,
like,
that's
big,
wrong.
They're big enough that there's that much money involved?
See, the deal was they were only a band from, like, 90 to 95, 96, and then they got a huge legacy after they broke up. So the guys from the original members were like, well, we don't want to tarnish our legacy by having some kind of almost a tribute band, which is only a couple members of the original band. And it just turned into, I mean, they toured. We went and saw them. Yob got to open for them in Portland, but
cool.
It's just turned into a big fiasco, and
well,
I just
see,
hate to
I
see
could,
bands sue each other.
Did you just say fiasco?
Is it fiasco or fiasco?
I thought you said fiasco.
I did.
Like, all you're like talking about bands, and then all of a sudden you throw in the fiasco. It's like you're eating, like, what are you eating? Like, oh, a microwave burrito with Tabasco.
Is fiasco
sauce
a band name?
It's fiasco.
And
thank
so should burrito.
We're going to save the food talk for later. Anybody that knows Chris Castles knows we will be talking about food,
man,
at some point.
I hate that I'm the food guy. That's just it's already starting to be a thing.
They're terrible puns. They're good. That was just a picture I saw.
I actually sent a video into a booker, and I got a response, and it was like a critical response.
Mm-hmm.
And
like,
well, first they were like, they're like, are you wearing a t-shirt? You know, like, like they were like, because I referenced people that had mentioned this person to me, and you know, a lot of people have, but I dropped some names I thought would count. And they were like, well, if you talk to them, they must have mentioned my professionalism, you know. And it's like, and it's no, and I'm, and at first I'm like, asshole, but no, I'm not, because I'm like, dude, I'm an idiot. I have no idea how to be a professional at all, because I'm like, well, no, but like me wearing I'm like the Pixies of comedy. Like, I just wear a t-shirt, but that doesn't work at all.
You got to wear a suit.
No, and suit and they actually specifically said, like, not a suit. They put it in quotes, and then they talked about my act. They basically said, it was really weird. Like, I don't know if they were texting, but it wasn't very grammatical. It was hard. It was like a code. Like, I had to break down their code.
They weren't typing on a keyboard, obviously.
No, I don't think so. If they were, it's like they're a confusing,
they're
angry person. You know, just not angry, but like very. But anyway,
exclamation marks were there?
They mentioned the food joke. And they just said the food thing goes on way too long. And they use like 8 A's. I have to count it. It was like probably only 3 or 4. I'm exaggerating. It was more than one.
They obviously haven't seen your whole act.
The whole food joke was there. I'm so high that when you're holding the pipe in front of me, I'm just like, I'm like staring at it.
Away.
Like, I can't even think to grab it. Can we not talk about smoking weed?
Of course it is. It's nearly legal.
Yeah.
Not for us. We don't have our cards, but
well, they don't. Nobody knows that.
They do now because I just told them. All right.
I'm not smoking weed for the record. I am only smoking water pipes. That's all I'll smoke is water pipes. So
wow.
Yep.
I'll only smoke water skippers. Have you ever smoked one of those?
Oh, dude. I accidentally smoked one once.
What? You really smoked a water skipper? I ate dancing shrimp in Thailand, which they look like water skippers.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's crazy. I was like drunk on tequila with these Thai girls that had known someone whose birthday was, so we drank tequila, which is weird in Thailand, and then we're like, we go to a dance club and like sweat this tequila out, like I'm a dancing fool. And then we go and they want to, because I'm the drunk American who's just being crazy, like when I'm around them, I'm like
a good time.
Yeah, because then they treat you like you're the Disney movie they've seen, so you just kind of start to play into it. Suddenly I'm Cinderella, you know, spinning around and you know, just electric, and they take crazy American to get dancing shrimp, which Gunten, which is literally they have an aquarium, and then they just take they like make this papaya salad. It's all spicy, and then the last thing they do is they take a net and they fish out these they look like skeeter bugs. Yeah. Like skipper bugs.
Water skippers.
Actually is whale sperm. They're just telling you they're bugs.
No,
it's floating whale sperm.
Like that's like some creature from Prometheus, like sperms out skeeter bugs.
Do you have any spoilers about Prometheus? Did you watch it?
Oh, I just actually dropped the biggest spoiler, that the final creature is a whale.
Oh, really?
That sperms out of its giant Ridley Scott dick skeeter bugs that shoot acid and impregnate everyone.
Wow. I heard some other spoilers, and I don't really mind spoilers if it's a movie like that, because it's a spectacle
to
watch.
That's just one
you
just want to go and see in the theater to experience.
Or IMAX.
My expectations fucked it up for me.
Ah,
really?
My expectations.
You thought it was
going to
be better?
Like, I didn't. Well, you know what? I saw The Avengers. This happened to me before, too, with Batman and then when Iron Man came out.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to enjoy Iron Man because The Dark Knight set such a bar. And it's not that, no, I want to watch the movie again. I don't mind the movie Iron Man, but it just like really wasn't fun for me.
Yeah.
And the same happened with Prometheus. I enjoyed The Avengers so much that when I went in to see Prometheus, I was like, man, I wanted this to be like the trailer that I remembered and was excited about. But it didn't, like, I don't know. It was not bad. I just...
It makes
just
me kind of
you want to watch on the big screen, I would imagine.
Oh,
right?
We watched it in the IMAX. It was huge. Yeah. It was just giant.
That'd be awesome.
It kind of makes me glad that I wasn't ever such a huge comic book fan, because
you'd always be let down.
Exactly. You know, like, I have a lot of friends who are super comic book fans, and these movies are coming out, and they're just like, oh, this is the day I've been waiting for, you know, to see these people on the screen. And a lot of them do say they were let down by it. So, like, I'm kind of glad that
I was let down.
Oh, you mean Avengers?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm glad. I'm not a fan either. So
or any of those, you know, like Iron Man and the Hulk and all those. They're coming to the big screens over the last 10 years.
Iron Man wasn't bad though. It was pretty well written, I thought, and well acted.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't anything special.
When I watched it, I'm also just kind of turned off by his cockiness. I think because my dad didn't like him. I think that's what it is. My dad didn't like him, so I don't like him. You ever have that happen?
Oh, big time.
See,
like your dad. Like,
it's just kind of instilled in you.
Yeah.
Just from being around him all the time.
See, I have a problem though. You were talking about The Dark Knight earlier, and I have a problem with The Dark Knight of being overhyped for me. One, and my problem with it is Heath Ledger's Joker portrayal of just, why is he always licking his lips? Maybe, I don't know that sticks
he was
in my
drugs.
Head.
That is so picky.
It is.
How did you even notice that?
There were moments where he was like a cartoon.
It's just like, what is he doing? It must be some sort of pet peeve or something of mine.
Like, I guess if you like break it down. But then again, why is Christian Bale doing all this shit, dude?
That bothered me too. The way that he almost plays it too like low tone. He's like,
that's so picky though.
It is a picky thing, and I've kind of calmed down since it first released, because I used to just like wave that flag of
you never know
lip licking Joker, you know.
Dude, the director might have told him to do that. You don't know.
I don't think
he's like, please lick your lips more.
Director probably,
you need to lick your lips more.
Heath Ledger's portrayal of that, I think that was a pretty much Heath Ledger, you know, kind of. I don't know. I enjoy the movies, and you know, even that one, but that always just, I don't know if it was a pet peeve of mine of just the constant licking of the lips. I was like,
that's just weird to me that you even noticed it.
Yeah.
But he's doing it through the whole movie.
Were you focused in on his lips?
It's like every line.
I thought he looked like it was like a cartoon. Like, he did such a good job that when the beginning, when he puts the grenade in the guy's mouth and pulls the string and says, like, why, whatever his first line is. When he reveals himself. And then he jumps in the school bus. The way that he jumps up in the school bus, like, from seat to seat, that, I was like, whoa, dude, he's so good at
this. It almost
Joker.
Makes you wonder if it's, like, maybe computer generated.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
No, I think.
But just he's so agile in the way that he...
Well, I'm sure they like made it look slick.
I might just be a Nicholson apologist or something, though, too.
A Nicholson apologist?
You know, like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I just like Nicholson's portrayal of...
You can't handle the truth! Oh, I get it. He was the Joker before. Okay,
yeah,
he
was the Joker way back when Michael Keaton was pulling down Batman kind of money.
That ain't Nickelback money.
That ain't Nickelback money.
So let's talk to Chris. Let's see. We got Chris in here, and we're just chatting. We're just yapping now. You got anything going on special that you want to talk about first? I noticed that this episode will probably be long because you're like, you've been around the block. You've been to Thailand. You've been to
different places.
I don't know.
You
just seem like you've done a lot of stuff in your
life. Well, who else have you had on? Like,
only Seth.
But I thought you said you had 8 episodes.
Yeah, but we've only had... Yeah. I guess we had one other guest, but it was kind of impromptu, and he wasn't really... He's just our friend. Yeah. We haven't had a lot of guests. You're our friend, and
of,
you have stuff going on.
It was the first kind of booking, and it just wires.
No offense,
crossed.
Jerry Murphy. I know you're listening, bro.
Wires just got crossed.
But he just popped in, and he did some...
He's like the only guy listening.
He's like, who's this Chris Castles guy? You've only known him
We've had 3 downloads in June and 3 episodes.
Man. Well,
what? No, we've had over 300 downloads already.
We're pushing 4.
You guys, see, you know what the good part is for you?
What?
Is that I like to talk about myself, so you have a good guess.
Yeah. We've got some setup questions, like an interview style, and we want other parts where...
Ask some questions, man.
All right.
I think we'll let Dustin go first because he always has the best interesting questions.
Okay. Like,
you play guitar, right?
Yes, sir.
And is it true your initials are CC?
Yes, actually.
All right. Well, you pick up that guitar and talk to me.
Is that?
I don't think he's a big Poison fan.
Are you not a Poison fan?
Do you know who
CC DeVille
is?
CC DeVille. I know the name. Yeah.
I was going to ask how much of an influence his guitar playing had on you.
Oh, absolutely none.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely zero. Actually, you know what's weird? It's weird. Can I address before we move on?
Yeah. Well, I still have a follow up question.
Okay, but let me just say that. That I'm a music nerd to an extent, but then like it went away. It's not that I'm not a nerd. I still love music, but like I even when I was a kid, I drew all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I cried and whined first. I was the bitchiest little kid. I'm such a little bitch. Like I've progressed. I'm not as much of a little bitch, but I have a track
record.
Was
that before or after you got moved to Boring, Oregon?
That was before. Okay. I was drawing in Boring, but then I discovered guitar when I moved here, and then guitar, that was it.
See, that's my follow-up question, though, is tell me about your band.
Oh, Destroy... Well, I have 2.
And you got 2.
Destroy the Deck.
Tell me about both.
He's in a 2-piece.
Destroy the Deck is comprised of... another guitarist and myself, who is my best friend.
Yeah.
I would say easily one of my best friends, you know, best friends, just great guy. He's the kind of person that I think like when I'm in situations like where I should do the right thing, I think, what would he do? Like, literally.
Yeah.
What would Eli do?
And best friends and bands.
WWED.
WWED.
You know, it leads to great chemistry, I always feel.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, and so we grew up together, too, and I met him here in Pleasant Hill, so we started playing guitar together. Like, he was kind of doing it, and I was kind of doing it.
Yeah.
So then we started doing it when we were 13 or 14, like right in that time period. And then we have just played. Like, we would play in the halls. We would learn face-to-face songs or, like, or Green Day songs or Sublime songs or... Yeah. Which ended up really being like other people's songs.
Yeah.
You know, like, so learn different, like the Replacements and things like that. And then, would play, like we even played, let's see, I played for my, this, oh God, what, there's so many things I could tell you guys.
Well, we want to hear them.
Well, like the first time I performed on stage was, I dated the first girl I ever dated. I think I was a sophomore and she was a junior and, we dated for like 3 months and we liked everything. We liked the hot tub, everything. Everything but sex. It was like but sex. Intercourse.
Yeah.
No butt sex.
Everything.
Not even
but
regular.
No,
sex.
There was no intercourse, but I won't get way into it. But it was like really good. You know, yeah. Like everything awesome. And like I learned everything about girls from her. But like 3 months, but she kind of was just like, it was just like, oh, I'm a cute kid. And that was kind of her approach to it.
Yeah.
And so like she ended up with her best friend at the time, who she's now married to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it was like, I was just the little fling. She figured it out early on.
But the important thing is, though, that did you ask her for butt sex?
No. I didn't even think about that.
They were just kids.
I didn't think about that
at all. They were just cute little kids.
I was afraid of my own butthole, let alone other people.
He didn't want to get too far into that. He already said that.
Yeah.
Into it.
I never really want to get too far into it. She dumped me, and it was like that harsh thing where like I even quit smoking weed. I threw my pipe out the window, man.
Is that why she broke up with you?
I had like a little one hitter. No. Oh. I was like, who knows? I can't remember what I was doing then, but I can only imagine what an annoying little kid I was. And so she dumped me, and then.
But did it break? Did it break
your
heart?
Oh, destroyed me. Yeah. Oh, floored, bro. Mm. And I had to go to school and all that stuff, you know. And so then there was a dance like a week after. That all went down, or a couple weeks or something. And then I decided I'm going to win her back. So I learned a song on my guitar. I'd never really like learned to sing and play a song like and perform it to someone. I'd done it, and I had like 4-track recordings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was all very personal. And then so I learned, you ready for it, guys?
I'm waiting.
Green Day's The Time of Your Life.
Nice. Dude. That is so weird because I just heard a story the other day of a friend of mine, not to drop any other podcast, but I was listening to another podcast and a guy was telling a story about how he tried to win his first girlfriend over by learning how to play the guitar and was playing a song. And I swear it was a Green Day song. I got to listen back to it. But Bobby, if you're listening, isn't that weird? That's fucking weird. But it didn't work.
Oh, well,
she didn't like the song.
So then I'm there. And it's like the dance, and I requested to perform at it, and I'm the only person doing anything like this.
Because it's DJs and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like a high school dance.
Yeah.
And so I play, like, the first verse, like, I don't remember ever being in key, like, singing. But, you know, it was just like...
And, your guitar and, like, was in tune, though, right?
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't remember.
You're
but I do. There was. There's this
anxiety.
Moment that happened. Oh, yeah, exactly. And, oh, I'm just terrified. Like, you know, that the feeling of being on stage... In front of every single person, most likely in your high school, which I only had
all
like
your peers,
420
plus,
kids. That was
all
what
the critics
I
read. Inside your own head, and that's the only ones you could probably see. You know,
and her there.
Did you see her? Could you see her standing right there when
and
you were singing?
I think I don't remember, and I have to ask her. I ran into her recently. I remember seeing her, and it being terrible because I didn't.
That's what Facebook's
I got
for.
Through the first verse, I think, and then
you started crying.
The second when I got to the chorus, I kind of just forgot what I was doing. And then I just stopped and I left the stage.
That's awesome.
And no, it was terrible. It was
she knew
humiliating.
Did she know? Is she familiar with the song though? When you played it for her?
Is she familiar with the song? Yeah, because it was like on the radio.
Okay, cool. Because this other guy that did the Green Day song for his girlfriend, she goes, "What's that?"
Oh.
So that's like, stab the heart and then turn the knife a little bit. And
he should have been like, oh, well, I wrote it.
Yeah.
You play it off. You always cover, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember being in a play in, I think it was my junior year, and I was a professor, and the whole world was going to blow up. But I found the only thing in the universe, and the actual prop was one of those bee sting kits. You know, that was the only amount in the universe. And I'm sitting there talking to the president on stage during a performance about how it's the only stuff in the universe. And I drop it and it rolls underneath a fucking desk. And we all just look at each other, you know, I mean.
So that wasn't part of the script, obviously.
No. Yeah. We just lost, you know. We just drop to the ground, all of us. We find it and just cover, you know. You just got to cover.
Oh, okay. I was wondering
that
if that
was where I was going with
okay.
that.
Okay. That was kind of weird. I didn't know what you were talking about.
If somebody doesn't know where, if the song is yours, just tell them it's yours.
Right. That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird. We were just talking about how many bands you've been in and stuff. Me and Chris kind of like met and didn't really know we met because our bands played a show together back in 2006. Angry Foreign Roommate.
Really? You showed me a flyer.
At the Wetlands with all these
at the Wetlands
with Necryptic and Domesticide and some other metal band.
I don't remember.
You
this.
Guys played first, and I'm pretty sure that Colin was in the band, wasn't he? Was he in Levi?
No, it was me, Colin, and my friend Todd.
Ah,
who's not? I'm not.
And I just remember. I can't remember it now because it's been 6 years. But I do remember the date because someone borrowed a piece of equipment that day and didn't return it, so that date got stamped in my head, January 14th, 2006.
And, 2006.
I just remember
I was a bartender at the Samurai Duck then.
See, and that's weird because we were playing shows there too at that same time. Domesticide was playing there a lot, but
Dimebag on
it was
the
just
screen.
Weird. You guys had once. Oh, you guys did a fucking.
You did
the lightsaber cock sucking blues, didn't you play that?
Yeah, we played that McCluskey
and
song.
And nobody knew who McCluskey was, and me and the drummer, Pat Wambacher from Domesticide, was a big McCluskey fan and had given me the CD, and everyone thought that it was just annoying because it's brash and it's just fucking awesome.
Now you gotta tell the listeners that song.
And I can't believe that I just remembered because I was just going to say before I remembered as I was talking that I'll never remember the song, but you guys played a song that really like stuck with us, and I was going to think that it was an original, but then it just clicked in my head after I took that little hit of medicine that you guys played a McCluskey cover, and me and Pat were like, fuck man, these guys are awesome.
Best song in our set.
Yeah, of course.
Tell the audience who McCluskey is.
I don't know anything
about
McCluskey.
They have an album called McCluskey Does Dallas.
Yeah.
And Pat Wambacher gave it to me, and it's weird, it's brash, and it's punk, but it's kind of rock. I don't even know how to explain it. They're just.
And that song stands out, I think. I've heard some other tunes, and they were nothing like that.
Plus,
one.
It says cocksucking in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lightsaber
cocksucking
blues. Yep. Yeah.
So is that something to do with Star Wars? You guys had to have learned the lyrics.
I was the vocalist.
So you sang that song.
Yeah. And
what is that song about?
The funny thing is, I never got the lyrics right, so I would always like flub it. I don't even know my own lyrics, but I like.
As long
I'm,
as you nailed
a terrible singer.
As long as you nailed the lightsaber cocksucking blues.
Oh yeah. Oh, and I would like give it up because I was a punk kid and like thought it was the shit.
We were just blown away that. You know how you see a band that does a song by a band that you think you're probably one of the few people that even knows about that band around here, and you're like, fuck, I don't want to. I'm sharing with these people. More for me, no. But yeah, it was awesome because we really identified. Even though we were like a death metal band and you guys were like a punk band, we're like, fuck, they're playing songs that we like.
Well, played, our Angry Foreign Roommate was punk, but we were more, it wasn't just punk, though. It was like, we wanted to be metal, but we just weren't.
You had metal overtones.
But it was the thing where we're kind of like the dorky stoner outside of the metal, because metal seems so serious to me, like the attitude in their band.
Necryptic.
So, yeah, and so like, you know, comedy has always been a huge element of everything I've done.
Right.
So our whole attitude was kind of like Angry Foreign Roommate, such a goop. It was, I live with a guy.
We loved that
we
name
named,
too. When we saw
and
it.
Originally, I swear, and this might be turn off listeners, but we're just doing it right. So
right.
I'll tell you, we wanted to be the Nigger Fucking Sluts.
That was the name of your band. What going to be the name of your band?
We played a gig as the Nigger Fucking Sluts. We just, but what we did was, is we put NFS,
of course,
and the acronym, and then didn't tell anyone what it meant. But then, like, you know, some people talked about
it leaked,
and we played a show at a dare. With the Rock and Roll Soldiers.
Out past Corvallis?
Yeah, that like, the disc golf course. They have that big area there.
Marysville.
And, like, I didn't realize this until, like, when we were playing disc golf there. Then someone told me, like, remember when you played a show out here? And I was like, that's the place?
That's always awesome.
Yeah, and because, you know, I never came up here otherwise. But we played with the Burp Ups, and I have the flyer, the Burp Ups and the Rock and Roll Soldiers, and it was, like, right before they got their deal. Like, I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh, yeah, they got signed to, like, Capitol or RCA or some big label.
Yeah. So we had only played that one show. That was our first show. I recorded it. I have video of it. And I wore like these thrashed up jeans and I wore a handkerchief on my head. And like we went in there with this like punk rock attitude and we played an Outkast song as a punk rock song.
We played
what was Humble as a Mumble.
Whoa.
And I would rap the whole thing, but it was like, but it was, and I knew I could still do the rap. But anyway, now I'm tangenting.
No, that's funny. Now I can't remember what I was just going to say, but
Angry Foreign Roommate. We played a gig at the Wetlands, though.
Yeah, I know. And then you switched to this other thing that you were talking about that show out there by Adair. And I
dare you to.
I dare you.
Yeah, that was super fun.
An Outkast song. Yeah.
We did an Outkast song.
That's just weird.
What else did we do? We did an Outkast song. And then we just had these songs. Because, see, the cool thing about Angry Foreign Roommate and what Colin, who is the bass player in Destroy the Deck.
Right.
And the connection there
Colin
is that.
Farrell.
No. Colin Hicks.
Hicks.
Catatonic Studios. Awesome. I love Colin.
Sweet.
His studio is super cool. And he was in a band before we. The way we met was Todd Jihad from Todd Jihad and the Taliban.
I've heard of that.
Is the older brother. I was in Todd Jihad.
Yeah.
And so the older brother. Was the older brother of this kid I went to high school with who was good friends with my brother. Uh-huh. And so he knew I was into rock and to playing guitar, my brother, so he knew that his homie's brother was into it. Anyway, so I ended up getting a tape of their band Blunderbuss, which is like old school, and another band, Cathead and Blunderbuss. And so they like played Ickes and stuff like that when it was over in the Blair area. And weird. That was like, so I loved it. They had all these samples from Mr. Bungle in it and Negative Land.
Nice.
And just like different stuff that I was like, that was the first time I was turned on to that kind of stuff before the internet made it so accessible.
Right.
So that was my, like, I had a tape and me and my friends would skate this rail in front of my house out in Springfield when I lived there with my mom. And we would put Blunderbuss and just play it over. And it was just one tape, you know, and like with three cuts on each side, maybe.
Yeah.
And we would rock to that. And that was before I ever met Colin or Todd. And then I got to meet them, and then I started a band with them.
That's fucking awesome when that shit goes down.
Yeah.
You're like, these are people that I love, and now they're my friends and my bandmates.
Yeah. Awesome. It was really cool.
I remember you mentioned the Burp Ups. Now,
Fred Mertz. Brian. Yeah, Brian Donnelly, I think is his
Fred
name.
Mertz.
He's in the Soothsayers now. He's a guitarist for
Soothsayers.
He plays in Davy Jones' Locker, I think, is another band.
So many bands and so many people. And
there is.
The Eugene bands. He's like an old school. The Burp Ups, though.
Yeah.
Went through many incarnations before me and after me. Or no, I think it kind of ended with what I was doing with them. They did this terrible thing to me. My buddy Dave played bass. And my buddy Dave's really cool guy. You could have him in. He's a great guy.
Okay. What's his last name? Dave's not
Dave
here.
Nichols.
We
David
only
Nichols.
Have great guys on the podcast.
Yep.
But we played for the Burp Ups for a while, and I love playing drums, so it was my opportunity, and I'm still terrible at it, but blah, 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 blah. I was just going to say something.
Yeah, you were going to say something.
Do you want me to say it, or do you guys have more questions? Because
Well, you know, you got your other band, too.
Oh, it equals or.
Yeah, which we talked about when Seth was here. Because I don't know how we got to talking about it, but
it equals or
it equals
oh, we were talking about bands' names that have animals in it, and so we talked about the former name
Bunnies
times seven.
Yeah, and that was my fault for killing it.
Bunnies,
or,
bunnies,
like,
bunnies.
Yeah,
bunnies,
I take
bunnies,
full
bunnies,
responsibility
bunnies.
For anyone who liked that name. But
it equals or is weird too and different.
I like it equals or because the way that it came about was organically, and we were playing that game once I killed Bunnies. He was like, well, does this work? Does this work? And he would send me like 10 texts a night, and I would respond with, oh, no. I would be like just back with different band names. And it was just this game of like no one's excited about anything.
It gets crazy after a while.
Oh, yeah. And then, so you guys are, of course, familiar with that. And then
it took us like 9 months, I think, before we got our name.
Sons of Confusion.
And then I texted Colin something, and I did that thing where it was like it auto-corrected or to it.
Yeah.
And so I just texted him, it equals or.
And he goes, that's it.
And it was Colin, though. So it wasn't that like that. So then I was like, that's cool. So then I texted Josh that.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? And I'd explain, isn't that awesome?
What?
I go, say it out loud. You know, and then he was like, oh, he goes, I like it. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And I go, and then we started texting back and forth the different ways we could spell it.
Like equals,
you know,
the symbol.
Well, that's the way that it was originally. But then we started spelling it like it's a town in like the Middle Earth, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, we met these tight elf bitches. You know what it equals or last night? You know?
Yeah.
It equals or.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
So we like, you know, the rhythm of it's cool. So, but you had to get past, but it's got that cool symbol. I like it. And it's kind of like savvy and fresh.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did you have other questions besides music?
I don't have any questions. I got some segments out, you know.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. I just wanted to ask Chris.
That's what I'm saying.
We talked about this, too, because Dustin did a crazy thing recently. He signed up for the Helium Portland's Funniest Person competition, and he had only did stand-up once.
Once.
And we talked about the story you told me of going on...
Last Comic Standing.
Exactly. But and that was the first time you ever did it.
I didn't follow up.
No.
In
That's probably smart. It's smart.
In preparation, I didn't. So I didn't think it would be a positive experience for me.
No, he had like one or two jokes.
So you didn't go?
No.
No, I didn't end up going.
Oh, you should have gone. It would have been, of course, positive.
If I would have had material that I had memorized, but I didn't even prepare.
What you should do is just come down with Terry to one of the mics and hang out.
He's gonna.
That's what you should do. And that's what you got to do. Low pressure.
I have material.
He's going to host, too, when
never went through it.
Don Frost is coming down to the Dixie and going to do a show with Josh. And you'll be out in Costa Rica or somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's why I couldn't do it. I'll be in Costa Rica. Actually, getting my buddy Eli, I was telling you, he's my good friend, he's getting married, and so I got ordained, and we're going to do the marriage on the beach.
We're ordained brothers. Yeah, I'm ordained, too.
Yeah.
You guys are.
It's pretty easy to do.
A couple clicks of the mouse.
A couple clicks of the mouse, and you're ordained.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That is sweet.
And I got ordained to marry.
Double marriages.
I did it, and I've only done one wedding, and it's been like 3 years.
I only did it to get my friend married, but then, I know it's going to be pretty lax, so I'm not
going
to, but whatever, I'm a comedian, so I was like, come on, I can handle this, but there is a weird pressure of the intimacy and like not wanting to mess it up for them.
How would you guys do a duo ceremony where you guys both married a couple?
Well, that'd be easy, I think.
At the same time?
Yeah, you guys both work the service to...
That'd be easy. What we would do is we would plan it all out where every other word we would say, and the other person would say...
Or we could do that thing where one person's talking and the other person just tries to say everything he says by guessing what he's going to say. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, where like you stand back to back.
Yeah, you stand back to back.
That's like an improv game.
This is kind of what it would sound like, I'm thinking. Yeah. What we're listening
I'm just going
to
do that to everybody who talks, and whenever you talk, I'm just going to try to say what I think you're going to say. But that gets really annoying after us. See, now he's doing it. But yeah, it's easy. That's kind of, I think that's the reason that I've always loved comedy, and I always pay tribute. I don't pay tribute, but I attribute the fact that I started to people like Dustin and yourself, because you and Seth had the open mic and gave me the opportunity to come down there and try it and decide that I loved it. And I've been doing it ever since, but I'm just trying to nudge Dustin in that direction by making him host some shows.
You know, I mean, I didn't mind losing the $20 entry or whatever, and it's kind of sucked let down. It was just total lack of preparation. If I would have prepared, like just even read through my notes a couple days before...
Yeah,
but
that
I
helps.
Didn't even do that.
That
you
helps.
Know?
Yeah.
And then he asked me if anybody were bringing notes on the stage, and no one was, because it was a pretty professional competition, and it was high caliber.
Yeah,
no
I
one brought
enough.
Notes
I
up.
Just didn't read.
You
could have
brought your notes up and worked it. You know, the thing is, if you're going to do something, everything, things just are what they are. So if you would have gone and done it, not that you're less a person, but it would have been an experience. Though.
Yeah, and I would love to tell the story.
He thought it would have been a negative experience.
No, I don't think any experiences.
I would have loved to tell the story, and I would have loved even if I. Even if I had cold read 3 or 4 times just to have it and just went over there, but just to go up there with absolutely nothing on my head.
One joke about spam.
Yeah, I was going to go up there with my spam.
So you guys want to hear about the last Comic Standing thing?
Yeah, yes, we do. Yeah.
All right, cool. So, I had been up a couple times before that. I like how I did that. I was like, I'm going to ask myself questions.
If you guys ask me a question, at least let me fucking answer.
Yeah. No, it's
people
so
bring
many,
your own
it's
questions.
Tangent-y.
When I think about,
it's fine. It's less work for us.
When I listen to podcasts and then I think about being on them, then I think about all the things that I would want to talk about.
Right.
And then I realized I would have to do so many podcasts.
I know.
To ever get it all out. There's so many things. Yeah. And then by the time that I had said all the things, then I would just have new perspective on it and then want to talk about it again.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's what's happened with us.
So you're talking about.
Oh,
so did
you
just
steer
fly
me back?
You just fly to Arizona? Flew?
No.
Flew.
Actually, it's a really sad story. There was this girl when I was working at all my stories when I worked at Samurai Duck. I hooked up with this girl who played guitar. She's so wonderful, and I was totally into it. And guitar girls.
And
she was hot. Oh my god, so hot and talented and wonderful
and a good band.
Well, so we played in the house band together. I can't remember her last name. It's funny. Her name's Heather, but I don't remember her last name.
You must have really liked her.
Yeah. Well, not anymore than she liked me, that's for sure.
She erases your memory.
Maybe her last name was How's the Weather.
But
Heather, how's the weather?
Heather, how's the weather? Anyway, it doesn't. I had this terrible. I was so depressed. And then I was like, I was so depressed that I was going to leave. I was like living with my sister. Yeah, totally.
That's sad.
I was depressed living with my sister, like in their cat room, like sleeping on cat litter.
Ooh.
And like just it was not a good scene.
What?
And I was just miserable living out of my leather jacket. And then I'm like, I'm going to go. My brother lives in Phoenix. He's going to UTI. I'll go down there and stay with him. and I did for like a month. But I took the Greyhound, and Heather offered to take me out to dinner before I went. I was like, yeah, let that bitch buy me dinner, you know? So we eat Thai food, and then she's like, well, at dinner, she's like, so would it be a big, like a problem, like if I rode down in the bus with you? And I was like, of course I'm like, well, no, it's not a problem. But inside, I'm like, you fucking bitch. How dare you take this getaway from me? And so on Valentine's Day of 2006, I sat on a Greyhound with the girl I loathed for 25 hours.
You loathed?
Loathed. I could not stand this girl. I mean, I wanted her so bad, but she broke my heart, and she was so like casual about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't be a baby.
And so you had to act like your friends.
Oh, act like we're friends. Well, she flirts with this other guy, like from like Northern California down to Southern California. And like, we're on the bus all the way to Phoenix Greyhound. And then the morning that we wake up and the sun's coming up and we're like 2 hours out from Phoenix, I'm waking up. It's like, you know, this like five or whatever. I pissed myself.
Oh,
like filled the bucket seat up with piss.
Were you drunk?
Oh,
I was drunk when I got on the, but I also had been a big pill popper.
So you're talking probably like 60 ounces.
Not like a big pill popper, but like an experimental for like a year.
Enough to lose control of your piss.
You know, you got to learn your limits with these pills.
For sure.
And I'm just popping like, oh, I'll take a green and a blue one. Whee!
Yellow and blue.
It makes you feel funny with three shots of whiskey and four IPAs, you know, before you get on the bus, and then you're like hurting. Wait, when someone, I was such an impulsive kid, and still am, like just terribly so. Like,
yeah,
just always fucking like, oh man, this sucks. I gotta piss. It's like, well, you drank all the beer, idiot. Like, I didn't even have that thought then. I have that thought now about myself. But I pissed myself, filled the bucket seat up, and then so you're sitting in it. Yeah, and then she wakes up. She's like, hey. And I'm like, she sees that I'm up, and I'm like, hey. And I'm like trying to be like, okay, I did this. I own it. I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can't believe this, but I've just pissed myself. I told her that. And she's like, what? You know, still waking up, like, what? I'm like, I pissed myself. There's like piss.
What?
And she's like, what the fuck, dude? She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? She got mad at me. She got mad at me for pissing myself.
Women.
And now I kind of feel like, maybe she's mad. Maybe, dude, this is making me think that maybe she's mad because, fuck it, dude. It doesn't matter. Last Comic Standing, so that's when I did it. I was down there, and it was on in Tempe, Arizona. I was there for about a month, crashing with my brother, getting in fights with him and his girlfriend.
Did you have to sign up early or something?
I stayed the night before. I had no money. I hitchhiked out with some people we were playing free poker with at this bar, and I hitchhiked out to the middle of Phoenix because my brother lived way on the west side, and Tempe's kind of like on the east, like lower east side or whatever.
Right.
And so I hitchhiked halfway and then went into a bar and offered to trade my shirt, which said comedians / the future rock stars. I offered to trade it to someone for a ride to Tempe, and this guy just gave me $20 for a cab. And then so I went and I waited in line with like a whole line of people, like Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And stayed there the whole night and basically just stayed up the whole night, like dozed a few times, but all standing around being like, we're funny.
Yeah.
And and then, you know, a bunch of people doing that. I remember just being really quiet and listening to people not be funny.
Yeah.
And then like being like, yeah, I'm way funnier than these people. And then you go up, and then the morning was cool. They're going up down the lines, you know, with the cameras,
right?
Like, you know, showing everyone, hey.
Yeah.
And then they like, hey, we like your shirt. Like, hey, come with us to the front of the line. So they take me to the front of the line, and they're like, okay, we're gonna have the camera go all the way up the line, and then when it gets to the end, you're gonna hold up your shirt like this and be like. And so I did, and then they used that in Last Comic Standing season in 2006. So that's why on my resume and my website it says I was on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah,
it's a little that like Jim. Awesome. It's totally a lie.
It's true. You were on it.
You take the press how you can get it.
Yeah,
you know?
Was on Last Comic Standing, which is funny because Leanne Joshua Bryant, she brings me up at the Laugh Off a while
go like this last time. Mm-hmm. And I had written that, like, say that I wasn't Last Comic Standing.
Right.
Well, she decides to put on a little editorialized, this guy tried out for Last Comic Standing. And I'm just like, you fucking bitch. That totally
that's not what I wrote.
The purpose of saying it.
Please stick to the script.
You can
bitch.
Tell me, like, I know that's not true, but you don't have to tell them that. That's no point.
Yeah.
Here's the quote. I was on the television show Last Comic Standing for 1 second.
Oh, it was like less than. It was one of those things where it like sped up and then it just slowed down like on my shirt. Ooh. And then it's like Last Comic Standing's starting.
Was it at the beginning of the credits or anything, or was it just
right
the
in the beginning?
Shot?
Right in the beginning. I don't know. I think it was just one episode that it was on, the Tempe episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've never watched. I remember watching it with my friend Mac Chase, who's also a comic from Eugene.
Guy,
I remember going
guy.
To his mom's house to see it on demand or Comcast or whatever, and being like, "There's my 15 seconds of fame." But that was like maybe the fifth time I had gotten up on stage under the guise of being a comedian, and like really the first time, honestly.
Yeah.
That's like the that's
and that was probably just like so scary.
It was the worst. Oh my god! You just get pushed in. You're waiting, and they're like, "Okay, you're gonna wait here," and it's all official, and everyone's standing around with clipboards and shit. And then they're just like, "Okay, now go." When you go up there, just go right up on the stage. They tell you that, and then you go in, and it's a giant. It's a comedy hall. It's a comedy club.
Big.
But it's all gutted out, and there's just the light on the stage, and then two people, and then like there's like 10, maybe a dozen. Or less people on the side with all these cameras and lights, but they're kind of in the shadows.
Yeah.
So you really only see the two guys, and you go up on the stage, and there's no like, "Hey, how's it going?" or anything. You just do it.
Yeah.
But I was banking on a response, so I did this kind of like, I would say almost Dane Cookie kind of like, "How you guys doing?" And and my first joke was supposed to riff off of that, but then it didn't happen. And then I just kind of stood there and stammered.
So was it just the three judges? Was it
two
just
judges. Two judges. It was Ant and then some other guy.
Okay.
And comedian Ant and some other guy. And then I just I stammered through the first thing, and then I think I addressed that I was nervous. I was like shaking.
Yeah.
And I addressed that, and I probably wasn't breathing. And then I totally like blinded too, you know? And then I went through my joke, which was some really bad joke about comparing the movie Battle Royale to Last Comic Standing. And it was basically like, that's how it should really go, is you give all the comics weapons, and then whoever kills everyone is the last comic standing. That was my thing. It got like a... And then it was like, is that it? And then they told me that they liked my t-shirt, and wouldn't I come back next year? And I said, thank you, and I left.
Well, at least, you know, you did it.
I did it.
I if it came around here, I'd probably do it just because I've been doing things like that just for experience. Like we're talking about before you got into that about the helium competition. I did that, didn't make it through, didn't expect to. I mean, you can even listen to past podcasts. I said that before I even performed.
Oh, to cover yourself.
Exactly, yeah. I wasn't expecting it through, but if I did, it would have been awesome. Now, I did want to announce, since we talked about it so much, the winner was actually Nathan Brannon.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, and that's why I was glad that he couldn't compete in the finals of the last comedy competition I was in, because I knew that if he was in it, he would take it, you know, but... I think the way they had it set up, it was kind of a crapshoot as far as the prelims, because it was all audience vote and depending on how many people you brought. But I definitely give kudos to everybody who made it through. And this was a weird thing. I don't know if you kept checked on the Portland Comics, but one of those guys, Carson Creasy, he made up a little sheet, like a bracket sheet, so you could guess who was going to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you know, don't show it to your comic friends unless you have them going all the way to the top. You know, you don't want to offend anybody. So I did it for fun, just for shits and giggles. I picked 12 out of the 24 finalists.
Nice.
How many people?
And there was 88.
88 people
performed.
What?
88. There was supposed to be 90, and two of them didn't show up. Some random dude named Token. That was his whole name, Token. I don't know if he was black or if he was just a token comedian that wasn't going to show up.
A minute. So
they went from 88 people down to 24.
Oh, and you guessed.
And I picked 12 of the 24.
Who did you pick that didn't
Funches
make it?
Picked 19 out of 24. Wow. We kind of had a little competition.
He picked 19?
Yeah, he's like, "I'm beating you." And I was like, "Dang it, you're better at everything than me." And then he's like, we kind of went back and forth. And then he's like, "Oh, I only picked one out of the final three, but..." he got 19.
Did anyone else get that high?
I don't think so. Me
19?
And Funches got the high. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Damn. That, out of 24?
Out of 90. Well, out of 88.
Yeah. Well, maybe, I don't know. I'd have to look at it. I'd have to look at it. See, now I want to do it next time because I bet I could do pretty good at that. I mean, I don't know all the people. He probably knows a lot.
There was a lot of people in there that I didn't know that I didn't pick. And one night he picked these two people, Torres and Dinger, I think. And I had picked those. And I was like, he goes, I picked all three tonight. And I was like, even this guy, which I had never heard of, and then it made me feel bad because what do you mean even him? Like, he's not funny, you know? And I was like, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant because I didn't know that guy, and I've never had the pleasure to see him perform. And yeah. I think his name was Jacob Christopher. I don't know.
Oh, Jacob Christopher's funny?
Yeah. And I'd never heard of him or seen him. And I said, you even picked Jacob? And he's like, what do you mean even Jacob? Like, you know, trying to say.
Oh, it's so weird. You got to be really careful. Like,
I know. That board is so crazy.
Stay off that board. Read the stuff on it, but don't post stuff on it. Like, I learned that. Like,
always get yourself in trouble.
Though. It doesn't matter. Get in trouble with who, though.
So many flame wars go on.
I know, but it's just so, it's always just entertaining, really. I mean, yeah. Like, I've catch myself on there. I'm like, why am I here?
I love reading the ones that get like 150 comments and they're just being, yeah, you said this, you said that. Why don't you do this? Hey, Ian, do that. You know, and it's like, why don't you guys just fucking shut up and go write some jokes? That's the best posts I see. Why are you guys on here being idiots? Just go home.
Oh,
and write
I did that. I did one of those posts where it was like, because it's funny. I'm on there. I'm like, what can I say to get everyone to like it?
Yeah.
You know, like when you get in that zone, it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Why aren't you doing something else?
And even me and Ron got into a thing, not a thing, but I posted a thing that said, you know, it'd been my 1 year anniversary. And I said, hey, all you comics out there, I said, how many shows did you guys average in your first year? And he's like, what number would make you feel better about yourself?
Who said that?
Ron Funches. And he's like, I'm sorry, that was rude. I'm really stoned, you know? And I was like, it's all good. And I had inadvertently put the word comics in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, so it said, what number would make you feel better about yourself? Comic. And it was in quotes.
Oh, nice.
And I was like,
but there's so much text involved. I know. So, like, whatever. If
it was glazed over.
It's all what you want to read into.
It was glazed over quickly.
Exactly. That's the beauty of that text stuff is that when you do, when you write something ambiguous, and most of it, like, I'm assuming Ron is being mostly ambiguous. It's funny.
Yeah.
He's being funny.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because then you just apply what you want.
And then he obviously read it back and said, that looks bad. I'm sorry. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm a rude boy today.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pretty awesome.
Oh, that sounds very much.
Hey, and so since then, I've kind of backed off and just read the posts and enjoyed them.
Have you guys ever been over to the Dixie? We should give a spot sponsor for the Dixie.
Oh, yeah. We've got our first official sponsor for the show.
The Dixie Creek Saloon is probably like the most magical place I've been to.
Oh, yeah.
In
it's
a
like
long
a house
time
party.
Because it is it's weird because it just... It's got. Well, I think it's because I know that I'm hanging out with you guys, and you're invited. You know what I mean? Like, we feel welcome.
Exactly.
You know, you feel
it's
welcome.
A house party vibe.
And so I feel that. Yeah, and I feel that kind of like the Blues Brothers. Like, I feel like I'm at home when I'm there in a weird way. You know, like
There's
like
a moose on the wall.
Yeah.
There's records everywhere.
And they got a nice outdoor area too.
And the outdoor area was cool. Everyone's just going, we can just do something with it. We want. Like, what, dude? Let's do something with this. This is awesome. And
the weather hasn't been very permitting lately, but they did have their first outdoor show there a week or so ago. But you guys go check out the Dixie Creek Saloon. They're a great place.
Show
they got
there this Sunday too.
Live music at least three nights a week. They got a ladies' night every Friday. They've been doing karaoke on Thursdays.
Right on Highway 99. You can't miss
and
it.
And check this out. They're open for breakfast during weekdays. They're open from 7
I saw that on their
10.
Banner. They got the breakfast, lunch, and dinner banner going.
So there's not a lot of places in the local area here of Albany. I don't know how many listeners. I know we got a big chunk from Portland and Eugene that have actually been listening to the podcast.
Very cool.
We get this thing that has our insights and our statistics and stuff, and it tells us where people we had two downloads from Australia.
Yes.
Awesome. Couple, people in Australia. What's going on?
Hey, mate.
Listening.
No,
you know,
don't do that. That's so
you know,
they're gonna
crazy
find out
to
where
me.
You live.
When you think of like Australia, their Christmas in December is like during the summertime.
Well, that's like
you
when
know?
Jesus was born,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but isn't it always... I just imagine that it's always summer in Australia, doesn't
no,
it?
No, like, but no, it's about where we are, but I think flipped on the other side, so their summers and winters are reversed on the Southern Hemisphere. You wouldn't associate Christmas at all with snowflakes or snowmen, sleds.
Yeah, but...
You'd be more like beer drinking and barbecuing Christmas.
Well, that sounds good.
Christmas
castles. That's how my Christmases are anyway, so...
Like they say on the Trailer Park Boys, Christmas is about getting high and drunk with your family. It's not about gifts. You know, we put some things on our website asking people what we should talk about, and we're not going to get to a lot of them. We'll get to most of them on Friday's episode, but we got a guest. But one of them said, talk about the Trailer Park Boys, and I was like, you missed episode 6 or 5 because we talked about that
for
a while.
Yeah, I don't know if they missed it.
Oh, can we talk about Trailer Park Boys?
Oh,
for
totally,
a second?
Yeah.
Okay, no, what was cool is that when I first met Terry, for those listening, around the first time when we met, I got tickets for Trailer Park Boys from you.
Yeah.
And it was so great because I went with Mac Chase, good friend, comedian from Eugene. That's the second plug right there.
Yep.
And we got to have Mac on. Mac's great.
Yeah.
Oh, Mac's
I want
so
him
fun
on
to talk to you. So
great people.
Blah, 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 blah.
I had a couple extra tickets. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we go, and the crazy, we park up the street, we get high, and I think we're also drinking. We have some booze and some flasks.
Right.
And then we meet you there at the theater. What theater is that?
It's Aladdin Theater.
The Aladdin Theater. Great theater, right?
Right.
And like we get there, and it's like, fuck, there's a line.
We'd
and
been
you're
there
not
hours.
There. We're like, man, we're going to get crappy.
Oh, we were already inside.
Yeah. And then you come out, and it was like, what happened? There was like a crazy row of events. Were you there when the person gave us chocolates?
Yeah, I got one of the chocolates. We're standing there trying to do the exchange for the tickets and the money because we were already there, and he texted me. So I came out, and this dude and this chick randomly came up and said, would anyone like some special chocolate treats? And we're like, duh.
Yeah, and they weren't just like a crappy treat either.
Oh, they tasted like the best buds.
I've had friends that make chocolate, and it's like, yeah, your chocolate's all right, but like this was like the darkest.
And we're like, are you selling them? They're like, no, we just picked them up at the Compassion Center. We're just trying to share the joy with everybody.
And so, I know. And then, and like, we're all panicked because we're like anxiety from the weed.
And we're not going
to
be able to
get in. And then Terry comes, shows up like an angel. This woman shows up like another strange angel.
Whoa.
And then we have the chocolates, and then you're like, oh, we're just going this way.
Yeah, go
and
through
we go
the bar.
Through the bar. I don't know why no one else was on privy to that.
Not everybody knows about it.
Yeah, so then we go through the bar, and we have seats like
you just
the
go right
fourth
through.
Row, I think, or the fifth
well, yeah,
row.
We were in the fourth row, and there was these two girls sitting next to us, and they were being boisterous, and they were a little bit overweight. They were just annoying. Not that overweight is annoying, but that just was
that
coupled together. And they were loud, and they were being stupid, and then all of a sudden, a couple seats came open in the front row, and they got up and ran over there real quick. Right about the same time you text me, and I said, you got one person with you. Let's save these seats for Chris and his buddy. And so they come in being late to the show, thinking they're going to have to wait in line, and they get chocolate treats and fourth row front and center, Trailer Park Boys.
It was so rad.
And
then,
awesome. Yeah, I look over him about halfway through the show just because I was just enthralled because I love the Trailer Park Boys. I'm just sitting there watching them, you know, everything. I'm just paying attention. Then I decide, oh, how's Chris doing? I look over, reach around my wife and tap him on the shoulder. How you doing? He's like, he just turned at me and looked with his eyes totally Chinesed out, and he's just like kind of nodded his head, and he didn't even say anything to me. You were just like,
but he did though. He did mentally though.
And then like we talked to you after. You're like, dude, I'm totally sorry, man, but like that chocolate treat just kicked in, and I was just like,
oh, I couldn't interact. I was freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, you just looked at me like, yeah.
Dude, you're the devil.
No, I was an angel. I was an angel in disguise, and then I was a devil. How are you doing?
You know, I always think about that when I see someone that's doing something similar to the things that I'm trying to do. Like the Trailer Park Boys are these accomplished guys,
right?
And I didn't know that they did the live shows. I didn't know what it would be like. And then you know, I start to see them as performers, and I'm like, oh my god, these guys are so talented.
Yeah,
because it's hard to think that when you're watching the show. It's
they
like,
just seem like a bunch of retards.
Yeah, but it's so good, and Mike Smith being such a talented actor and like leading that troupe. Like, I mean, they were all very strong, and I know that Julian is the straight man. Yes. I forget the other two actors' names, but like
Ricky.
When I'm watching them perform, I remember just and I know this happens. I don't remember the specific thoughts, but just all the synapses is like firing off. I hope that's the right word. But like, I start making these connections, and I just start getting excited about me doing it.
Right, right.
And sometimes I'm not even like I'm in it. It's hard to be in the moment sometimes, but I'm like so locked, and it's so awesome. But then any breather moments, I'm like, oh my god, I want to be doing this.
Totally.
So why haven't I written my show yet? And all this.
It's
all
so
things.
Hard.
I
dude,
get so
to
excited.
Write a show. I mean, I know
I
you're working on a movie.
I don't think so.
Well, maybe we should get together because I've got lots of ideas.
I'm always right. I think it's really easy. It's just like this, except for you just focus on it and you joke around. You know what Mac and I do? Mac and I write movies a night. We'll write a whole movie in a night. We have this one great one, Kung Fu Cop. It's so silly.
And you can be pretty formulated about it, really, you know, especially comedies.
Well, it helps to have someone that you're kind of that you creatively are inspired with. Like Mac and I are such a yin and yang and such a back and forth and trust each other's ideas. And we're just good at it. We're just good at Mac is idiot savant.
He is. I know, and I was so surprised. I was so surprised that he didn't do stand up for about the first year that I was doing it. He'd come to some of the shows, but he'd never get up during the open mics, and he finally did it, and he was hilarious.
He's
Donkey
a killer.
Donkey. Yeah, and I heard he did Baghdad recently.
I brought him up to do Baghdad.
Yeah, and did he do
He did
well?
Really well. He went over on his time, but he has no perception. I love Matt, but he got a positive response. I saw comics coming up and being like, Funches told him he had a good set.
Okay, cool.
Several comics, including the host, Tristan, as well.
Yep. All right. Well, yeah, before, I don't know, we're probably getting close to an hour, which doesn't really matter. But before we get anywhere further, I want to kind of talk about your comedy thing that you got going on, Green Room.
Yeah, I do have to go soon.
Okay, cool. Well, we're almost at an hour. We'll have you back on in another week or two whenever we come back. But I wanted to mention before I forget, if you could remind me after we wrap up here about one of the Trailer Park Boys. You remember Cyrus from that? You ever watched the episodes of Trailer Park Boys?
Cyrus was in the beginning.
He was the Trailer Park
guy,
dick.
Leather jacket.
Yeah. Okay, well, his name is... I can never remember because it's such a weird name. But anyway, he's starting to do stand-up, and he's booking a West Coast tour, and he wants to do it. He's got a Vegas show booked, and he's looking to get into Helium, and he wants to do a Eugene show. And so,
you're talking to him?
This friend of mine who came to the Helium, Sean McClain. Shout out to Sean. We're going to have him on the show at some point, too.
Yeah, he's going
to
come on in a few weeks.
Are you doing business with me on the phone?
We're not doing business. I just wanted you to make sure to not let me forget to talk to you after we're off.
Why would I forget that?
Exactly.
I have a quick little segment. You guys up for a segment?
You got to make it quick, though.
That's how high we are.
The talking shit segment. I just want to know.
Talking shit?
Talking shit.
Okay.
This is our segment.
Do I have to talk shit about someone?
We have talked shit.
No, we're just going to talk about shit.
Actual shit?
Have you guys ever taken a dump in a dump truck?
What?
Have you ever taken a dump in a dump truck?
I have never shat in a dump truck.
I'm wondering if any of our listeners have ever taken a dump in a dump truck. Maybe they can send in their dump truck stories.
I used to drive a dump truck around at a seed place, but I never did take a shit in it.
Talking about like one of those little toy ones, like when you're a little kid, you know, you just shit in various things.
Oh,
when you're a kid. You just chat in a dump truck.
Is that your only topic?
Yeah, this is Ben talking shit.
Okay, I'm flushing that segment because that was bad.
Oh, that was pretty bad, dude. I feel like that was almost a Chris Castles joke.
That segment needs to be flushed.
He had a better shit topic last episode, but I can't remember it. But before we wrap up here, I want to talk about your room that you have down in Eugene.
The Green Room.
Yes, and you're pretty much doing all the booking and pretty much running the place, kind of?
Yeah, it's a joint effort, actually, between Drew Tideman and myself. Drew from The Donkey Show.
Yeah, we always like to give them shout outs.
Marcus as well. Shout out to Marcus. I love Marcus.
Sweet.
We were talking bands last
night. On Sundays.
Marcus Bridges.
Yeah, Marcus is a drummer.
Yeah, my band played with his band before Tanner moved away.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I can't remember the name because I was always Hero Explains the Ghost.
That was the name of the band?
Yeah, it's Goofy.
Cool, I like the name of the band.
I didn't, but that's another story.
Green Room,
710 Willamette.
So I run it with Drew and of course Gary, who owns Doxpad and the space. It's awesome. You can do comedy and I'm glad earlier you said, and I wanted to say that. I'm sorry, do you want to ask a question? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I can ask.
Going.
Don't pay attention to him.
I'm rolling. No, yeah. Well, then I felt bad because I just kept rolling.
No, go ahead.
I'm the
go
interrupter
ahead.
Of all interruptions.
Go ahead. I can ask it in a second.
I'm so bad at it. You said earlier, and I like that you said that I was an influence, is what you said.
Yes.
I like what you said, but I mostly like it because... you said you seem like comfortable about doing comedy with us.
I do. I enjoy it.
Which is the thing that I feel like I put my most energy to before even writing. I think I put more energy into trying to make people feel welcome and introduce them to anyone. Like if they want to know, like if you want to ask me and you want, what about this? I'll just introduce you.
Right.
I want people to know people and like have
That's
it work
cool.
out. And
I don't know
I
if I'm just saying this because I feel that way or if everyone agrees, but it seems like being in bands all over the years, there's a more true brothership and camaraderie. Is that how you say it? Between the comics, like everybody helps everybody out. Everybody wants to do everybody's mics. Everybody wants to do everybody. It's like a communal thing. It's real communal. There is some probably viciousness. I know people joke around a lot.
There is a lot of viciousness.
See, now I guess I have. Is there more than I'm letting on?
No, it is, but it's like a. It's just the communalism.
Yeah.
There's like a smoke and mirrors aspect to it.
Yeah.
Where I feel like. They're all in the same business, and there's only one spot on the stage.
Right.
As opposed to bands, too, where, you know, it's like your band sucks is a lot less personal than you suck.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's true, too. There's that aspect. I guess it's good that I don't suck. No. But there are some people
that
just don't.
But I guess
like
maybe it's just in the friends that I've came to act. Because, you know a lot of people as far as comics, but you don't necessarily hang out with them.
No, that's. Yeah, but you have that in common. There is the camaraderie.
But, like. Yeah. And even though we don't get to hang out as much as I would like to, but like when we do at other shows in Eugene and whatnot, the kind of core group, you know, Bradwin, Milstein, you, Josh Finch, all these people.
And he's been kind of out of it.
He has been kind of, and Joe Parra was in there for a while, and you know, all these guys, and I just felt comfortable.
And Bryce Jones.
Felt comfortable with all those guys.
And Milstein.
And when I go to Portland, it's a little less because I feel like I'm still trying to break into their little
group.
Well,
that's just, it's a bigger group. It's a bigger group.
And they don't know me.
Well, and it's weird because there's like it's so weird because when I started stand-up, I started there.
Like 5 years ago?
About 5 years ago.
You did Harvey's first, right?
I did Harvey's first, and that's when I still lived here. And then I moved there after that.
You lived in Portland?
I lived in Portland for about 9 months when I started comedy.
Wow.
And like I even keep a list of all the mics I did in like my list. I dated them.
Right.
And like I would do sometimes 9 or 10 mics a week.
Yeah.
Because there was just different mics. But I would also go to mixed mics because I also felt on the fringes at that point.
Right. Yeah.
Even though I was, everyone kind of knew who I was right out the gate because I had a couple like episodes with like Don Frost when I met him. And like I had a few episodes before I ever made it into Portland. So
episodes in like a negative way?
Yeah. I pulled some shit at this gig.
You used to drink a lot more.
Washington, and I was drinking Jaeger and Red Bull. Yeah. I didn't say a thing. It was with Joe Fondo and Cody Cooper, who I haven't heard from. I don't know what his deal is.
Hmm.
He's from around here. I think he manages the Safeway or something. I don't know. But we went, and I'm just going to keep talking.
It's okay. It's okay.
And I like pulled my balls out. And they don't even know me. And like I did this Louis C.K. joke about like I'd been listening to Louis C.K. and like I had a bad set. I just had a good set, and my sister saw
me
in Hollywood.
I don't know.
You can't do other people's jokes.
Yeah, I did it. Well, I wasn't bad. It wasn't bad for that.
I'm referring to you can't pull your balls out on stage.
Well, it wasn't on stage. It was like I was behind these, like, I was by these, pinball machines, kind of in between them or an ATM or something. And they were outside. Joe Fontenot and Don were outside smoking. And I, like, jokingly was like, look, there's my balls. And it was like, I didn't say anything the way there. And then I pound, like, 4, you know, Jaeger bombs, like, before the show starts.
Uh-oh.
And it's on a piece of wood with a squealy mic on some cinder blocks at a dance club.
Yeah.
In Pullman, Washington, the only place the kids go at night.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing. They didn't listen to. I just done well in Hollywood, and my sister saw me. And then this, and it was just like this. All the road gigs you hear about is like my first road gig. And it's the worst. Like, I black out. My set, they didn't respond after 2 jokes. They're playing pool right in front of me. And I start being like, well, I fucked all your mothers last night, which is the Louis C.K. joke I did. And then afterward, I remember I got cut, you know, like get off stage. Afterward, I'm wasted. I don't give a shit. I'm hitting on every girl and scaring them away. I don't remember. And then, you know, probably almost getting beat up at so many different corners. And then Fontenot comes up to me and he's like, brings me up to the girl running the show because she doesn't want to pay him. And she goes, you can't tell my audience that you fucked all their moms. And I was like, I couldn't have possibly fucked all their moms. That's what I said.
They know I'm kidding.
Yeah, they do. They didn't care. It was awful, 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 awful.
And aren't those just the ones that like give you character and
I guess. I guess.
They suck, don't they?
I think I would have just had more character hadn't I done those things. The gig would have been bad, but I didn't have. It was me that made it terrible.
Yeah.
Because then Fontenot went and pulled the gig out. I felt so bad for Frost. I dug that huge hole, and then Frost went up. And this is the first time I ever seen Frost.
Yeah.
And he just stayed in the hole.
He couldn't get out of it.
He fired off for maybe 10 minutes. I'm going to give him that. It's hard to say. It's been so long, I'd have to ask him. You should get Frost on here.
Yeah, I'd like to. And he does his own podcast three days a week. Well, he maybe when he comes down to do the comedy show, maybe he can come early. Yeah, we could do.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We've talked about doing a live podcast from the Dixie.
Yeah. Oh, Don Frost. Yeah, well, live. That would be crazy.
And he wouldn't even need a microphone.
No. Don doesn't need a microphone.
So going back.
The green room. I know. I'm so distracted.
What kind of nights are you rolling down
there? Okay, so Sunday and Thursday. Every Sunday and every Thursday, save like July 4th weekend and Labor Day weekend or whatever.
Open mic.
We have open mics. Sign up at 8. Show at 8:30. It's kind of early for the summer, but we're trying to make it make sense for the fall and not have to switch the times.
Right.
It's a new thing.
Have people get used to
it. But in the fall, it'll make more sense. But for now, in the summer, it's kind of the slow roll. Sundays and Thursdays has been, it's crazy. There's comics coming out the woodwork. That's awesome. You don't even know.
I haven't been able to make it down lately.
I know. Drew and I were talking about how we
haven't
seen
you. As a matter of fact,
and he didn't know that you lived up here.
Before I forget, now, my good friend Robin, you know that short chick that comes out a lot to the comedy? Robin and Alex. Short little Mexican girl with the tall.
Sure.
Yeah, Robin. Anyway.
Yeah.
She loaned us her vehicle today so I could be here because my car's broke down.
What was her man's
name
again?
Shout out to Robin.
Alex.
Ole.
Alex. Those
with tattoo neck.
Yes. No, I know. Oh, no, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I talked to Alex.
Yeah.
He did stand up.
He talked about watching.
Get Alex in here. Get that motherfucker in here.
We're going to.
Talking
because
that guy's got some stories.
Yeah,
man.
He talked about watching. We're
trying to make people ask
guy.
Us.
Do we don't want to go begging, but anyway, I'll save that Alex story for when he
comes
here.
Oh my god, he's so good! Yeah. Alex.
And that's
for the Alex episode.
That's the one and only.
Yeah,
like that's Alex. The one and only time he's ever done stand up was at the Black Forest that night. But
anyway, I love that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
So we probably got to wrap up. I know you got to go, Chris.
Okay, yeah. But the green room, and then Saturday's the showcases. We're gonna get a website going so that everyone can just check it out. But stay tuned. We're figuring that
out. But I do know that you got Tynan DeLong coming down this Saturday.
I do. Tynan and Philip Schallberger couldn't be there because
he
got a bad bike wreck.
Dude, he face planted on his bike. Yeah,
That was bad. But Tynan DeLong and Christian Ricketts and Jeff Oliver. And I'm really excited because they are all super creative.
I saw.
Super funny.
I've
good
seen
energy.
All those guys.
I just love.
I saw Jeff Oliver do Spicy News, and that was funny.
Oh, he's so. Jeff Oliver. Yeah. I've only seen him once. He's so funny, though.
Yeah. And then you got June 23rd. We're going to do some plugs here to run out. You got Todd Armstrong coming
Todd
down.
Todd Armstrong and Seth Milstein's going to feature for Todd. That'll be good.
And I'm going to open the show.
And
right?
Terry's opening.
Woo.
That's right.
Plug
yeah,
for myself.
Terry opening,
and then Friday, June 29th, Wandering Goat. Comedy showcase.
Yeah, that too. I'm doing all kinds of stuff.
So that's what
that's going to be a special late night show.
10 o'clock?
Yeah, I think on the 10 o'clock and like do like the popcorn kind of thing.
Sweet.
So
are you going to have that Tom Heinl do it again? He was so creative with his intros.
Yeah, I think he's not going to be there.
Okay, well,
so
that's all right.
I'm going to be there and I'm hosting it this time.
Okay, cool.
Right on.
And then are you going to be involved in that thing for Boomer's dog in Independence?
I don't know about that.
What's up with
it's
dog?
July 6th. His dog got out while he was gone and it ran up to a couple people that had some smaller dogs or bigger. I don't even know what it was, but the dude fucking pulled out a knife and stabbed it 8 times.
What?
Yeah, stabbed Boomer's dog 8 times.
What?
Let me get on that. What?
Yeah. So he comes home and his roommates find the dog and it's like bloody and they put him in the car and they took pictures of the back seat. It looked like Pulp Fiction's fucking vehicle because
wait
there's
a minute.
Blood.
Oh,
so and it costs like $1,200 to get his dog sewn up and his dog's a champ. Now his dog's fine.
That's
he's
awesome.
Cool. So Will Woodruff, our good
are they
friend
calling
Will.
This? What?
Yes.
Yeah. We had Will on yet.
Will. No, he's going to come too. If he'll do it, you know, we don't want to beg, but we're looking for people to hear this and go, I want to come on your show.
Yeah, it's fun.
But
it's always fun.
So Will's putting
like
on a fundraiser. Yeah. I think he's got a few people confirmed, as in myself and like Dennis Williams and I think Jesse Priest and Boomer's going to do it. And everybody's just not getting paid and it's all going to Boomer's dog.
He never asked me, but I'll see if I'm around for the show.
Yeah, I don't know if you've talked to him lately.
When
I just
is the show?
It's July 6th. It's a Friday night.
Oh, there's no
way.
Oh,
you're in Costa Rica.
I'm leaving to Costa Rica the next day.
That's
what.
Wait a minute, is it in Portland?
No, it's at Independence Pizza.
Independence. I might do it and then go up to Portland.
Cool.
That sounds like an awesome thing to do.
High five.
We just high five for those of you who
can't
see it.
I know you heard it.
Yeah, you heard it. But dude, come to the green room, guys. It's awesome.
710 Willamette. And don't get confused. It's inside Doc's pad, kind of.
Oh,
it's connected.
It's not that confusing. When you go there, it all makes sense, dude.
And Dustin asked the question earlier, which kind of pad is it? Maxi, mini, or quicker picker upper? Nobody answered except me, right?
I didn't even see anybody answer. I didn't look.
He does silly Facebook polls.
Yeah, that's cool. You got to do it.
I asked what kind of pad is it, Maxi, Mini, or...
Quicker Picker Upper.
The Quicker Picker Upper.
I said it's a Docs pad. So, yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Chris.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me, guys.
Oh, that's not even alcohol, is it?
It's just water in there. I buy the bottles to refill them with water. No, I just use them because they're glass.
Perrier.
And then I just refill them with tap water.
Yep. Right on.
He's half Mexican.
You can
I improvise, you see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You could put a medium-sized piss in there, too, on if you needed.
Piss job.
So you don't want to piss your pants again.
This one's not big enough for my... It's not a big enough dick hole for pissing in the truck.
Did you just say dick hole?
Not a big enough dick hole.
All right. Well, so what was this? This was episode 8?
This was episode 8.
All right. So, yeah, special thanks to Chris Castles for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry that it was a little crowded in here, but we're working on it.
No, it's nice, man. Don't feel sorry. I think it's great. I like the decor.
We've got some sponsors now. We got the Dixie Creek Saloon sponsoring us for a few episodes, and so maybe we'll get some cashola to buy some new stuff and spruce up the studio a bit. But
heck yeah.
So, yeah, this has been Episode 8, TagCast Podcast. I'm Terry.
I'm
Gatch. Yeah, and this has been Chris Castles. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on Friday.
Yep, this has been Pipe Cleaners.
That's right. Episode 8. So what's your outro line?
Rock on.
And metal. All right, thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.
I know.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com